Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, October the 3rd, 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 58, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page. Remember that we deal with alcohol, and we'll be reading that one paragraph only, and the comments will be focused on that paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Laura R., the 12 Traditions, Lorraine N., and the readers of the text are Kathleen O., Robin P., and Dion R. And the share ID for Wednesday, October 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,469. That's 13469. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, October 3rd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,475. That's 13475. And the newcomer greeter today is Mary H., and the announcements is Janice P.M. Overeaters Anonymous. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Laura.
Thanks, Mo. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Mo. This is Laura R. from Colorado, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Yeah, thank you, Laura R. and the 12 Traditions, Lorraine N. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. Hi, good morning. Lorraine N. from a food addict in Redmond, Oregon. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again, and that's the star 1 button on your phone, not the mute button, okay? In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 58, the bottom, the fourth paragraph. On that page, remember that we deal with alcohol, and we'll be reading that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Kathleen O. to get us started. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service this morning, and good to be on the line with all of you. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful, exclamation mark. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. And another exclamation mark. So this is a very powerful paragraph with the word power in it. And cunning, baffling, powerful. Well, that sure nails it. It's really a perfect description of this disease. And this first word, remember. I can't forget that I have an abnormal relationship with food. This is a disease that's always going to tell me I don't have a disease, and it'll sneak up on me when I least expect it, and that is the kind of baffling, powerful part of this. You know, my problem with food was it was destroying me. I was out of control when it came to food, and my life totally revolved around it. You know, food had the power, not God. Food had the power, and it was running my life. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my purpose in life was because I was consumed by thoughts of how I was going to get it, what food I was going to get, and where I was going to eat it. My whole day revolved around that. And I mean, I really lived for the ease and comfort that food brought me, and I was dying from what it was doing to me. So I had to believe there was a power that wanted me to live, to solve this food problem, and, you know, so I could start to have a life. And I had to ask that power to help me change. Cunning. You know, this disease waits patiently for a weak moment and pounces when we least expect it. This disease is cunning. Addiction is never cured, and I have to remember I'll never be like normal people when it comes to food. And baffling. You know, the story of Jim who decides to put a little whiskey in his milk, that's going to be a good idea. He has this great idea. A little whiskey in my milk won't hurt me. And I've been there and done that. I remember this specific time I was at this party. And, you know, I was experiencing anxiety, and I wasn't aware of what, I wasn't paying attention to my feelings. And I tend to get a little social anxiety. So I'm at this party, and I forgot. I forgot I'm not like normal people. It's like, oh, I can be like them. I can, you know, have a little of this and I'm going to be okay. And, you know, it seemed like a good idea. And I was off and running because I forgot. And that happens when I rest on my laurels. You know, when I'm not paying attention to my emotions or being aware of my feelings, I'll forget. And I can't forget. That word remember, I cannot forget. I can't rest on my laurels because if I don't work these steps daily, I won't remember I have a disease. And my addiction will pounce. And I'm going to wonder, oh, how did I get here? It's such a baffling disease. And the power of this disease is mind-boggling. It's just self-will run riot. So, you know, it's about working these steps. Working these steps changed my life. It'll change your life. And the miracles that happen, I mean, I finally realized my purpose in life. I have a life that has purpose. And now, instead of being a mess, I can carry this message. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Mo.
Perfect. Perfect timing. Thank you, Kathleen O, for getting us started. All right, I'll just remind everybody where we are. We're on page 58, the bottom paragraph, the fourth paragraph. Remember that we deal with alcohol, our compulsive overeating, and I will now take names of those who'd like to share.
Lisa J.R.
Sherry K.B.
I got Lisa Dana J.R.
K.
Who was after Lisa J.R.?
Sherry K.B.
Dana, I heard Dana K., Sherry.
Jennifer.
Melanie C.
Who was that?
Rob
C.
B.
Who was that C?
Melanie.
Melanie.
Robin P.
Robin P. One more.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. Gotcha. Okay. I've put scribble down here. Melanie C. Robin P. Okay. Thank God I know some of your last initials. All right. Here's the lineup. Lisa J.R., Dana K., Sherry K.B., Melanie C., Robin P., and Reggie O. Great lineup. Okay, Lisa J.R., you'll get us started, followed by Dana K.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Lisa J.R. calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Grateful to be on the line this morning and in this paragraph. Cunning, baffling, and powerful. And, you know, all I have to do, and I know this sounds like a macabre thing, but all I have to do is turn on the animal planet and see how my disease works. It works like a predator. All you have to do is watch that herd of gazelle out there on the plains in Africa and watch the lions and how they hunt it. They wait for the one who isn't paying attention. They wait for the one who is in a place where they're just lollygagging and have separated themselves from the herd. They wait for the one who is weak or is not doing what it needs to be doing to stay in the herd. Just like me when I start to fall away from program, you know, and they wait patiently in the tall grass. Every predator, an anaconda, it just submerges itself in the mud and waits for some unsuspecting animal to come up. And that's how my disease works with me. And I have to remember that, you know, it's always out there in the tall grass waiting. Like they say, it's out in the parking lot doing push-ups. But it's patient. You know, I agree with some people who say, you know, Bill may be left out patient because it is, it waits till I am lulled into a sense of self-security, of security and feeling like I've arrived and feeling like my food plan is working for me so well, you know, who cares? You know, I can start shirking on my 10th steps. I don't have to do this work vigorously every day, but my life depends on it. So I'm mindful to stay in the herd and every day ask God, every single day, I have to go to my creator and ask God to paraphrase Psalm 118, bind my self-will to the altar with cords because I will take my self-will back in a second. I will give it to God in the morning while I'm on my knees praying. And as soon as I get up and get into the maelstrom of the day, off I go into self-will. And that's where it's dangerous. That's where the predator, the disease, is waiting to get me. So with that, I pass gratefully.
Oh, perfect. All right. Thank you, Lisa J.R., for getting us started. Dana K., followed by Sherry K.B.
Hi, good morning. This is Dana Kay, recovered in Missouri. Mo, would you please time me this morning?
I got you going. Okay.
Thank you so much. And a very warm welcome to those returning from relapse and all newcomers today. So without help, it is too much for us. Just reminds me of step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I didn't believe in the beginning. I had failed so often. I had tried so hard. My belief in anything helping with this disease was so low. I didn't even want to believe I was a compulsive overeater. I thought, oh, maybe I just have a little food issue, and if I lose some weight, it'll all go away. And that just didn't work. For me, hope is such a motivator, and it fuels my life. I had a relationship with a higher power. And yet my hope in that higher power or in anything helping was just like, no, it just nothing was working. And how could I trust, as this paragraph says, one that has all power? That one is God. May you find him now. Well, I found him, but it wasn't working. My way just, it didn't work. What I saw was that addiction, it's such a monster. It is so nightmarish. It was consuming me, consuming the people I loved, and I didn't know the way out. But I got onto this line, and I heard a message of hope. I heard a message of recovery, and I drug my feet. I didn't want to come back. I didn't think I physically could do the program with the strength that God gives me each day. But I thought maybe, just maybe, if it was possible for you, it would be possible for me. I believe today one of the keys for my recovery and to keep the recovery, I had to let go of my expectations of how my journey would look going through the steps and working the steps. And I just wanted what you all had, and I was willing. I had a teeny, tiny bit of willingness that I gave my higher power, and my higher power in his infinite love and mercy just, oh my gosh, threw open the gates and has given me such a wonderful life, even though I live most of it in bed, not due to weight issues, but because I have a chronic illness, a chronic diagnosis. One of the other gifts, and I'll wrap up with this, I'm 51 years old. I've had the joy of traveling 2 times this year and will travel again, and I haven't done that in my life, and that is a gift of the program. I went to convention 2 years ago. If you're on the fence about it, please, please, please go. It has opened up relationships for me and a way of life that I never, ever, ever dreamed I could have.
Time.
And I thank you so much for listening to me. Perfect, Mo. And with that, I will pass.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the promo, too. All right. Thank you, Dana K. Sherry KB, followed by Melanie C. Sherry, good morning,
Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in California. Grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line and Team Thursday. And welcome, newcomers. This is a very powerful paragraph, cunning and baffling. And I love words, so cunning, clever, sly, shrewd, crafty, exhibiting creativity and ingenuity. Baffling, confusing, frustrating, disappointing, defeating, bewildering, and it defines solution or understanding. So, you know, I've always heard that my disease is out in the parking lot doing push-ups. Well, what I used to hear that. Now what I hear is that the disease is actually still inside of me. It never goes away. It's always in me doing push-ups. It's just that I have a higher power. I have the steps. I have to stay in this book. So many people I hear, you know, they've been abstinent for a long time. They were working the steps, but they leave. Or they think they've got this thing. And when I hear somebody go, oh, yeah, I got this thing, and I tell people, you're scaring me. You're really scaring me when you tell me that, because this disease lies in wait. It has nothing better to do than to wait to see what's the next thing I'm going to do. And it's going to try to get me at every turn. And the thing that I was always told, that the food is the last thing to go. That's why I can't rest on my laurels. I've got to be in this book. I've got to be taking people through the book. I've got to be living in 10, 11, and 12. I've got to work the steps. I've got to be of service. And some people think, well, that's too much. You know, you're asking me to do too much. And I'm like, no, because it'll keep you out of your disease and keep you connected to God. Because I know that's what I have to do. I mean, I've always been told, don't ask somebody to do something you're not willing to do yourself. And so I know, and life happens, things are going on, things get busy. Even when things get good, I still need to be in this book. And when things aren't going well, I still need to be in this book. So I just know that if I want to keep my disease at bay, there's only one who has all that power, and that one is God. And I have to find him now and stay with God now. And it says, but there is one who has all power. And because I don't, God does. It tells me that in the next line. That one is God. May you find him now. And so I have to stay connected with my higher power at all times as well. If I want to keep the disease at bay, I have got to stay connected to my higher power, because I cannot. I've been so defeated by this disease, been kicked down, face down, you know, thinking that I could do it, and I can't without God's help, and then I pass. Thank you, Mo.
Hey, thank you, Sherry KB. Melanie C., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. That one is God. That one is God. Isn't that interesting? Right on the heels of finishing up the chapter 2, we agnostics, and I look at these in sections. Oh, I'm going to tell myself a little bit here. The best that I could do was say that I wasn't an addict, but I was in trouble. And that's when I came into the rooms. I'm not an addict, but I'm in trouble. And that catches in my throat today. I knew something was going on. I knew it could not possibly be food, and that tells me about the cunning, baffling, and powerful nature of twisted thinking. And that's where my sponsor started me with. We're going to start right there, Melanie. We're just going to start right there. And it took me 2.5 years in these rooms to concede to my innermost self that I was an addict, that I was an addict. It didn't take that long for me to get to the steps or work with my sponsor, but we started there, and by rote, we went on to the next piece. Without help, it's going to be too much for you, Melanie. You know, you are made of true grit. You hit the floor running. You slay dragons, and you're a little bit hard to get along with. maybe a lot to get hard to get along with. But without help, if you cannot open this heart up of yours and get some help, it's just going to be too much for you. And so that fellowship came beside me and started pouring stuff into my life. And again, with rote, I kept coming to class, and I'm determined to tell you now that I think that my higher power locked the door behind me, and I couldn't get out because I'm a master cutting and running. I didn't know what else to do, so I'm piecemeal. I got some help, and I stuck my neck a little bit farther out of this turtle shell, and then I draw it back in a little bit farther out, and I draw it back in, trying to get some help. I just had to do it by rote. And then as time went on, I found that there's something going on with this old concept of God that was going to be possible for me. Just teeny, 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 teeny lights that was going to be possible for me. And let's fast forward this beautiful journey of transformation, the psychic change that happened to Melanie. I didn't do anything that would merit what I've been given today. There is a relationship with that one God, as defined by me, and it is broader and bigger and more powerful than I ever brought in here, that I was ever introduced to, but includes all of those things, and it transformed me. I was as hard as a boiled owl coming into these things, and it wasn't possible for me to get this deal, and I don't think that it was going to happen to me. I almost missed it, but that there, I can take these things in piecemeal, and people continue to pour into my life until my mind was transformed, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Melanie. Robin P., followed by Reggie O. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Mo. God bless everybody in your recovery. Thanks so much for this wonderful meeting. I'm so grateful to be on it. Such a blessing. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, I feel like I came into this program as a devout, proud atheist. And when I saw God on the walls, I thought, oh, no, I really need this. I was bulimic. I was anorexic. I was compulsive overeater. I was desperate for help. But there was God on the walls. And, you know, just one step at a time, people just said, just any power greater than your addiction. And, you know, this program is my bridge to God. Without this program, I don't have a chance in my personal experience of having a relationship with God. That was my road out of hell. And fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. That's one of the promises and recovery. And I had so much fear of people. And then it said, you can't do this alone. You know, and I had a very profound spiritual awakening. I'm a Christian, which is, everyone has their own higher power, but I've had quite the, a lot of leaps of faith and a lot of powerful experiences, and one day at a time. And for me, the cross is an example of my higher power, that I need to always be reaching up with that straight vertical line up to my higher power, and also that horizontal line to all my fellows, because or else if I just have a relationship with God and not my fellows, I just have a vertical line. And if I just reach horizontally to my fellows without a relationship with a higher power, I just have a horizontal line. So for me, I just get to remember I need both, and just to keep being humble enough to ask for help, because all I wanted to do was do this thing alone. I just want to go fix myself and then come out and go, ta-da! And that's the opposite of my recovery. It's the humbling that I needed. God bless everybody. I pray that you all have a really blessed afternoon day. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin P. And before we take Reggio, I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 58 in How It Works, the last paragraph, fourth paragraph on the page. Remember that we deal with alcohol. And after Reggie, I'll take more names. Good morning, Reggie.
Hi, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everybody here this morning. I'm so grateful you recovered and in Los Angeles area this morning. Wow. I just a couple of things the past two people shared, you and Melanie shared, you know, I wrote down, open up this heart of yours. And Robin talked about that amazing, which to me, I love metaphor of the cross. And I was thinking after Robin shared about that, where the cross, where the intersection is of the vertical and the horizontal, I believe is where the heart is. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is this cunning, baffling, and powerful disease that acts, that has made me a crazy person, and that has been the source of insanity for me. And even with a clinical background, I never saw the insanity of the disease until I started working the steps in vision. And I had done the steps many times before. I totally get now that it is not, as well as cunning, baffling, and powerful, that it's a disease that made me insane and could make me insane easily again. Without help, it's too much for me. I love all of the we's in the book, and I was thinking about as people were reading the, traditions this morning, the traditions are so that we keep a solid we focused on our purpose. And that is so wonderful, because this it's so safe coming into this meeting and hearing the message that I need to hear every day. I need to be fearless and thorough, not just when I go through the steps. I need to be fearless and thorough every day as I live this way of life every day. And you know that one who has all power, that you know that's the divine power that I get by working the steps fearlessly and thoroughly. I used to have a wall for most of my life. I had a wall between the inside and the outside, and I could have all these amazing tender feelings on the inside, and I could have this outside, which I just couldn't get to. I couldn't express them. I couldn't take it in. I couldn't take love in. I couldn't express love out, even though they both existed in my life all the time. And I couldn't talk to God. I could not talk to God intimately as much as I would try. And you know, today I'm sitting here thinking I talk to God about everything, unless I forget sometimes. My relationship with God is intimate. I have a complete trust in God. I didn't for a long time. And I have this fellowship. And, oh, my gosh, I'm just so incredibly grateful this morning. As in the doctor's opinion, one of the lines I love, you know, if you are to recreate your life. And I took that as a promise. And my life has been recreated, you know, has been recreated, working these steps in here with you all and now being of service and doing it with others. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Reggio. And I will now take names of those who'd like to share in our second round.
Hey, Janice.
Wendy B.
Is that Janice PM?
Oh, you heard me. Thank you.
Beverly R.
Beverly R.
Wendy.
Christina.
Wendy.
Christina J.
Wendy. Wendy. Wendy B.
Yep. Wendy B.
Got it.
Mary H.
Mary H.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Paige.
Jennifer H.
Paige. Was that Paige B? I got your Paige. I think that's
correct.
All I can take. Yeah, Paige B. Who was the last person? I'll just squeeze you in if I can.
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H. Okay, I'll try.
Okay.
All right, Chris, I didn't get your last initial, but you can. Oh, that's Christina. I didn't finish her name, Christina J. Okay, Janice PM, Beverly R, Wendy B, Mary H, Christina J, Paige B, and if I have time, Jennifer H. We'll see. All right, go ahead, Janice PM.
Well, thank you so much, Mo. What a job you do. To the grace of God, I'm telling you. My name is Janice PM, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling in from Massachusetts. Well, I know we're beating a horse, but the more I beat it, the more he doesn't resist. Remember, insinuates that I forget. And you know what? I am a quick forgetter. When it came to my in the past, to my disease. See, I didn't know. I really didn't understand. I knew intellectually I had a physical problem, yeah, and I had, I didn't know too much about the spiritual, but I know I had the physical. And it says, remember that we deal with my disease, which is compulsive overeating, and it's cunning. What does that mean to you, Janice? Well, let me tell you what it meant to me now, what it means to me. It's more skillful than I am when it comes to food. I am no match for my disease. It's just, I'm just no match, because if I was more skillful, I would have handled it and got a solution. And didn't keep going in and out, in and out. And baffling. It was so confusing. I banged my head to try to understand. Gee, I go to meetings. I do 90 days. I do all this stuff, weigh and measure and all that stuff. And I'm still, my mind is still the way it is. I'm going back to the food. Now it says powerful. Ah, there's the word. It's more powerful than me. So if I have a problem of powerlessness, then I have to find a power. Well, I try to, the best meeting, the best sponsor, even talking to God, telling him what to do, and still it didn't work. So, you know, with help, without help, the right help, I was beyond human aid. But there's one who has all power. Oh, there's the solution. All power. And it tells us one, capital one, is God. Now, when it says, may you find him now, when they first wrote this script, the pioneers, they the original manuscript said, you must find him now. And that made sense to me when I heard that word must. Because back on page 44, if you're a real compulsive overeater like me, you must find a spiritual solution or else. What's your choice? Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice PM. Beverly R, followed by Wendy B. Good morning, Beverly.
Hello, is it time for Beverly R?
Yes.
Yeah, well, my name is Beverly R, a compulsive overeater, and somehow I'm still in my disease, and I find that my go-to emotion is anger and rage. Anger and rage. And I say, I am angry with this person, and then I say, I am gonna eat X, Y, and Z. And then I say, why does it have to taste so good? And I'm reminded, nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels. And yes, I am a Christian, but I have to cut through all the religiosity and all the complication, and I just have to put it simply. Keep it simple, sweetie. God is light. God is love. God is light. I must reach towards the light. And I think like a plant in the forest, reaching up towards the sun, I must reach towards the light. And to me, God is love and light. And I said, I'm going to Google love and light and just meditate on those two things, love and light. Thanks for listening. It's Beverly R. in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Thank you.
Thank you, Beverly R. Wendy B., followed by Mary H.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and where it says, but there is one who has all power, and that one is God. May you find him now. Just struck me, you know, reminding me that my relationship with God yesterday isn't enough, you know, that my being on my knees saying my third step prayer this morning isn't enough, that I need to find him now, this minute. I need to be connected to God right in this second. You know, I need to shake off my passivity and my distractions and choose active faith, reaching into God continually in the now of every moment, you know. And I'm reminded that, you know, if I draw near to God, to him, he will disclose himself to me. And I'm just choosing faith right now. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Mary H., followed by Christina J. Mary H.
Hey, this is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin. Really glad to be here today. You know, I didn't earn being a compulsive overeater because I had a low moral character or failed at something. And I can't earn recovery by doing all the right things, by doing the right actions. When I think about it that way, the 12 steps can become like an incantation that I am trying to do to earn recovery. What I really need is I really need to get close and lean into a power that is greater than me. I need to do it to effectively work the steps, and I have to do it every single day. I can't assume that I know what God wants or needs me to do to stay sober today. I have to ask every day. And I developed into a fiercely self-sufficient person for the same reasons that I started overeating, which developed into compulsive overeating. Because there was pain that I couldn't deal with on my own. And those were the ideas that presented themselves that helped me to survive, that helped me to disassociate from my pain and from the difficulties of real life, but helped me just to float by, you know. Without the help of a power that is greater than me, this is too much for me. And when I started working the steps again last year, and we got to this part the part that really struck me was that it's too much for us. Not just for me, although that was what the original manuscript said. It is too much for you. But they changed it. They changed it to us. And it occurred to me that without help, this compulsion, this is too much for Bill Wilson. This is too much for my sponsor. This is too much for every single other person on the line that identified as recovered. And it was too much for me. I was not alone, and it was not wrong to need help. I needed help, and it couldn't come from a human power. It was too much for me. You know, this whole book says the point of the book is to help us to find a power greater than ourselves that can help us solve our problem. And here it is again, in the lead up to really laying the steps on us and showing us what the path is that we need to tread, to find, thank you, to find recovery. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass. And thanks for timing me, Mo.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Mary H. Christina J., followed by Paige B. Christina.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service. Very grateful to be on the line once again, because sharing and working with sponsees and doing my 10 and 11 and this keeps me remembering every day. That first word, as many have said, remember. I have to remember every day. I forget. I forgot for years how I felt when I'd had a big binge and it went on. And the next morning, crawled out of bed and felt like death warmed over. And I knew the only thing that was going to help me was another chocolate bar or another bagel or another big bag or whatever. So remember. And remembering is a daily job. But when I talk to sponsees and we talk about the different debacles they've gotten themselves into, I remember and I get horrified, and it scares me into keeping my recovery strong. Alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Didn't know a bag of cookies could be so powerful. It's in the cupboard, you know, in my before I was neutral around the food. It had a voice louder than any other voice anywhere. It would not let me alone. If my husband forgot that he'd eaten half of a piece of cake and left the rest in the fridge, I was counting the days because I was hoping he'd keep forgetting it and keep forgetting it till I could get in there and get it and he'd never remember it. I mean, it's insanity. And I was baffled, completely baffled for years. What is this? What are these cravings? I don't understand what's going on. Trying everything I could, nothing worked to dim those cravings. It's cunning, it's baffling, it's powerful. It's an allergy. It's an allergy. When I pick up, I can't screw around with one bite. One bite's going to set the damn thing in motion, full-fledged, even if it doesn't start today. So, I took a bite and I was okay. Oh, if I eat that with my protein, I'll be okay. Not 2 or 3 days later, I've got this craving starting up. Where did it come from? I'm baffled. I forgot that I had that bite of sugar a few days ago. So this is nothing to play around with. The only thing that's been able to help me has been my soul opening up to a spiritual connection with my higher power that I've had all my life, but I didn't let him run my life. And how did I get that? By working these steps, by doing what my sponsor said finally, after relapse, just being willing to surrender and just do it, like I was laying on the street dying and calling out for people, help me, please, to this group. We have to do it. And then the spiritual awakening comes. It's like building a house. If you don't build the foundation, if you build part of the foundation and then you lollygag off and skip down the road, when are you going to get that house built? When are you going to get your new foundation, your new way of life going? It's not going to happen. We've got to stay focused on building the house, and building a house is not easy. We're building a new house, a new way to live our life, a new way to walk. That one is God. May you find him now, and I pray that you do. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Christina. Paige B, followed by Jennifer H. I think we're going to get you in there, Jennifer. Paige B. Good morning, Paige. Press star 1, Paige. Can't hear you.
Good morning, Mo. This is Paige, a compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service. This really resonated with me. Remember, we deal with food. Cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. You know, when I first read this in another 12-step program, May You Find Him Now, I really was pretty pissed off about everything, but pissed off about that. It sounded like so glib. Sure, I'll quickly find him now. Great, yeah, there's the answer to all my problems. And the truth is it is. And it took many, many, many years of being dragged behind the moving freight train to be beaten to the state of reasonableness where it really has become the solution for me. Early on, as soon as I could drag a footstool over to a cupboard to grab food to feel better, I was using it to regain or to gain some sense of control over my crazy world. And that did not go away. I came in savage and stayed fairly savage and committed to my plan in a multitude of ways. And, God is patient, and the grace entered my life and stepped between me and my food, I hope for the last time, some time back. But that, I could not do that. And the truth is for me is that I am not getting this program, is that God pursued me, and this program is getting me. And I just need to stay surrendered and desperate enough and identifying in with how powerless and dead in the water I am with the mental twist and the physical compulsion and the physical craving. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Paige B. We got you in, Jennifer H. You're up.
Hey, this is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive eater in North Alabama. Thank you guys for your service. And like the one other person, I was thinking about that word now. And I'm going to quote this speaker that I heard a long time ago who said, there is one who has all power. May you find him now, a place that most of us seldom visit. And that one kind of helped me to see that, I had always said, right now I'm just going to keep what I'm doing. But then Monday, I'll do differently, and really it's right in this minute that I had to turn to that power and do differently, and that's where the help was now. And, that was a really big change, and being able to sort of let go of all the cunning and baffling, way this disease is, which kept telling me sugar helps, sugar helps, sugar helps. And when actually it was entire abstinence from that, which was going to help. What could be more baffling and cunning than that, So, I'm really grateful that you guys have shown me how to stay in the now. I couldn't be in the now. People talk about feeling remorseful the next morning. I couldn't feel, that would involve being aware of what I was doing. And I didn't even want to be in the now. I didn't want to be aware. How could I be aware of what I was doing to my body and my mouth and my teeth and covering up all the wrappers in the garbage? I couldn't be aware of that. So it's so much, it's a better life living in the now. And I'm grateful to you guys for being here and showing me how to do that. With that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Jennifer H. We have about a minute and a half if somebody would like to squeeze in there. Anybody like to take a minute here, a minute and a half?
Sorry. Good morning.
Who was that?
Darcy C.
Darcy C. Okay, Darcy. I'll give you a minute and a half, okay?
Okay, I can do it. Good morning, my fellows. This is Darcy C. from Kentucky. And just to speak on this, I feel like, because I've always had that relationship with God, I knew he had all the power. But I just don't think I believed he cared enough about my food. And of course that's all I saw as a problem was I just needed to figure out the perfect diet and how to control it. And I would always turn to him for help. I always have. But I just felt he wasn't willing to help me with that. And so it is truly through working the steps. But also just that step one and realizing I'm so powerless over the food that I have to trust him with everything. And just surrendering every single morning. That is truly letting him use his power to help me to find that freedom. And I'm just grateful to be doing this alongside people that are doing this with me, and I'm still working on getting recovered, but grateful that I am finally seeing what it looks like to tap into that power and to feel the freedom from some of the obsessions. So thank you all for being here. I hope everybody has an awesome day.
And thank you, Darcy. With that, we'll end this part of the meeting. So I would like to thank all those who gave service on this meeting today, and I will now ask, who do I got here? Robin P. to read A Vision for You from page 164. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, sorry about that. Oh, my
are.
God.
There you
here
are.
I am.
Okay.
Hold on one second. I'm just, my phone isn't working. To pull it up, let me just see if I can get it.
If not, we can get Dion R. to read it.
Thank you. Here it is.
You got it? Okay.
Yes, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Sorry about that, guys. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do for each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't thought. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen. Thank